Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Well, good day to you good people out there today. Hope today finds you doing well. Welcome to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. If you would like to be a guest, you can call in at 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a warning. Please be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here and you want to indulge in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, random insults, gaslighting, excessive profanity, trolling, things of that sort, you know, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Come in here, make sure you have an air of respect about you. Please come here and be respectful to the hosts and the guests. Okay, so, well, folks, here we are, a little more than a week away from the Christmas holiday. Just want to put this out there. God willing, I will be having another show next Saturday. Just want to put that out there. Just in case you all are wondering, I might be out for the holiday or whatever, but God willing, I will have another show next Saturday. So, but and the Saturday after that, I don't know when I'm gonna, you know, be off again as far as this show, because I want to be more consistent on this, and sometimes things do come up. You know, you might have an illness or an emergency might come up, and then you have to say, well, you know, I can't do the show now, you know, because, you know, of this emergency or whatever. But I want to be more consistent on this, and so that I can continue to so you folks can continue to look up and say, hey, I know Vince's program is going to be on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm going to get ready for his program because I know he's going to say something good. You know, I'm not that type of person. I don't toot my own horn or anything like that. But, excuse me, still shaking the last bit of the vestiges of the COVID I caught last week. I'm a lot better, you know, probably pretty much 100%. I don't know what I'm thinking right now. Anyway. sometimes you get those days that you're on top of everything, and some of those days you're not on top of everything, and that just happens. That's just human nature. But I wanted to start the show on let me just start off by saying this. Those of you all who listen to this show, and I probably say this ad nauseum, you know, from time to time, but you all know what I'm about. You all know what I stand for. I am a born again Christian, you know, but I do this show because I want to get into the current events and everything that are going on. And basically, this show is about my rebuttal of a lot of the black, you know, the black belief system that we have out there, you know, for the mainstream black America, you know. And basically, I do this because I want to let people know that just because you are a certain skin color doesn't mean you have to go with the status quo. And I remind people, I tell them that I am a free thinking black man. Okay. If you come up to me and you want to say something about black folks, you don't have to feel nervous around me, because you're not going to offend me if you say something that mainstream black America gets offended at. And I try to let people know that I'm a free thinker. And this gets me into a lot of trouble with my fellow black folks, because a lot of black folks don't like individuality. They don't want you to think for, they don't want you to think for yourself. They want you to think like they do. And they'll come out and they'll say, no, that's not what we're, yes, it is. You know, your actions speak louder than your words, because you can say something and I disagree with it, and then you go off calling me those cute little names. But I am a free thinking black person. I'm not part of a monolith or anything like that. I like to take things in as I see them. I like to take them in and come to my own conclusions. I don't like folks telling me how I am supposed to think. Hence the name Black by Color Only. You know, I've had people over the years ask me, well, why you call, and they seem to be offended by that name. I don't know why people take offense to a person saying that he is black by color only. It's saying that I am black and that I am an individual. Yes, you may be black too, but let's get a whole bunch of us together, a whole bunch of black people together. And you, when you look into their minds or their, you know, whatever, you'll see that each one of them has their own set of dreams and aspirations, things they want to accomplish. So we can't think like, you know, mainstream, like everybody else does. Because, and one thing about me, people will tell me, will tell you that I march to the beat of my own drummer. I don't like people telling me how I'm supposed to think and what I'm supposed to believe or anything like that. I like to make my choice on what I like to think and what I like to believe. And this gets me in trouble with a lot of black folks. I was talking to a brother this morning, and he's a white guy. And I told him I am the worst of the worst when it comes to people on this earth, because I'm a black man. I dare think for myself, and I'm also a born again Christian. So I'm basically scum when it comes to mainstream black America. Hey there, Warren. Welcome to the show. And it's something I'm used to. I'm like, it goes with the territory. You know, when you want to speak your mind or you want to speak the truth, it sets people into this uncomfortable, you know, I don't like what you're saying. I don't, that's not what I was taught. Well, maybe you need a new lesson. Maybe you need a new lesson. But I like to think for myself. And there is so much liberty and freedom when you have the ability to think for yourself. instead of being chained up by what somebody thinks you should be thinking. Now, I listen to a lot of black people, and they say, you know, we black people in this country, we're still in bondage in our minds. Well, why are you still in bondage in your mind? Can't you think for yourself? No, the white man, he got me thinking this. No, you don't have to think that way. You can come out of that if you have the determination. But see, you know, I listen to these people, they talk about black power, but it seems like when you hear them talk, it seems like they're saying the white man has all the power. I can't do nothing. I can't even think straight, you know, because the white man got me thinking like this, or I can't do nothing. I'm still in bondage in my mind. Well, then you need to get out of bondage, dude. I told one guy, this was about 30 years ago, I was with a missionary group on North Carolina Central University. That's the black university here in Durham, North Carolina, which I once attended. And I asked this guy, I said, are you still in bondage today? You know, because he's talking about we still in slavery and all that and everything. And I said, are you still in bondage today? He said, well, yeah, I'm still in bondage in my mind. I said, well, you need Jesus Christ to come into your life and set you free from that bondage in your mind. But a lot of these people, they don't want to hear about Jesus, you know, that pie in the sky and all that. They don't want to hear about Jesus because Jesus is for the white folks. Jesus is a white man and all that crazy mess, you know. Now, of course, if you're not a black Hebrew Israelite, you know, that's you know, the black Hebrew Israelites, they think that Jesus is a black man. He's come down to save all the black people, take away the black people, and then put the white people back in slavery because the white people once had black people in slavery, you know. But that's for another show. That's for another show. You know, I've been studying, I've been watching a lot of videos about the black Hebrew Israelites, especially one called the Israel United in Christ. They're those guys with the purple shirts and the purple and the yellow, and they go out there screaming, you know, the scriptures and everything. They say that the Bible says that God is going to, that God hates white people, and that God, he's going to come back, that Jesus, he's a black man, and he's going to come back and save all the black people, them types. But once again, that's for another show. But I tell people, I don't like people telling me how to think. You don't come here and tell me how to think. And then when I don't think like you do, then you start calling me the N-word, and you're your sellout, your Uncle Tom, your Uncle Ruckus, and all these other, all them cute little names, you know, and everything, because I simply do not want to think like you. I have the liberty to think for myself. The white man doesn't, the white man, the black man, the Indian man, the yellow man, whoever, they do not have the power over how I think. That's the reason why around 30 years ago, I realized that the news media tells some of the most erroneous, well, they don't tell the lies. They just spin the truth around. They snip off a little bit here. They snip off a little bit there. And before you know it, you're thinking a certain way. They want you to think, and you don't even know that they have influenced your thoughts. And a lot of people, they think because the news media is telling them something that they're hearing the truth, and they are not. And some people say, well, I don't listen to the news media. But when you listen to them talk, you're like, you've been influenced by the news media. And those of you all who listen to the show, you all know how I feel about the news media. And I tell people, I tell them, and it seems not to get through people's thick skulls. You all need to stop paying attention to the news media. You need to stop being influenced by the news media, because they'll get you thinking a certain way. And when someone comes up and shows you the truth, when they present you with the truth, because you never heard that truth before, you think that truth is a lie. You won't investigate it. You'll just say, well, I ain't never heard that before. I've had people tell me that. I ain't never heard that before. Like you know everything. Like you just know everything. And one thing about myself is I realize that I don't know everything. And to be honest with you, I don't want to know everything, because one of my greatest passions in life is learning something new. I always want to learn something new. It gives me a great passion to say, oh man, I just learned something new here. What's up, Bring It Boy Yee? What's cracking? And I'm always constantly wanting to learn something new. But when you shut yourself down like that because someone has told you something and you think it's the truth, but you don't want to investigate it, you don't want to research or look into it or learn, you know, what it is that you're hearing. See, nobody can tell you anything because you think you know it all. People who are academics, people who are not academic, you know, it affects all kinds of people because they think they heard something, and they heard it often enough, they start to believe it. And they think, and not only do they start to believe it, they believe it so much that when you show them the truth, they know it's the truth, but they still want to believe what they want to believe. I had a character on my Facebook. Let me just start off with saying this this quote. And I posted on my Facebook page. It says, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. And that is so true. Because once the lie gets out there, and you got a lot of people who like to jump to conclusions instead of, you know, trying to say, okay, I see what's going on here, but let me check into it. They'll just jump to conclusions. The damage has already been done. And we got several examples of the damage already being done. Once the lie gets out there and you show people the truth, they're like, nope. Because they've already been infected by the lie. And I had a character come on my Facebook page. I put a quote. Well, I put up something earlier this week. It was a post from a couple of years ago, and it was relating to the Charlottesville incident in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's a place I'm somewhat familiar with because I got family nearby there in Culpeper and Madison, Virginia. And you know, you all know about the Charlottesville event. You know, a young lady ended up losing her life because some guy, you know, drove his car into a crowd of people and hit this young lady, and she got killed. And during that event, Donald Trump, they tell you that Donald Trump made a statement that showed you how racist he really is. Let me do this. He made a statement that they said that showed how racist Donald Trump really is. And that statement was that white supremacists are very fine people. And people push that. Yeah, you hear what Donald Trump said? Supremacists are very fine people. And I tell folks, I tell them Donald Trump did not say that. He did not say that, nor did he insinuate that white supremacists are very fine people. He never said that. But people, because they heard on the news just showed them part of a speech that he made, they believe it. And when you show them that during that same speech, Donald Trump also said, I'm not talking about the white supremacists. I'm not talking about the KKK. People need to be condemned. But when it comes to this issue about, you know, they were talking about statues, he said there are fine people on both sides. He was talking about those who oppose the statues standing in, you know, Charlottesville and those who supported it. He said there are very fine people on both sides. He wasn't talking about white supremacists. But just like with the MAGA, the news media came up there, they ripped apart his words, and they made him say something that he did not say. Like with MAGA, you know, Make America Great Again, some people were like, oh, he wants us to go back to Jim Crow. Oh, yeah, that's right, because he's a racist, and he wants us to go back to Jim Crow. So when he says Make America Great Again, oh, my goodness, he wants black people to go back to segregation. And that's not what he was saying when he said Make America Great Again. But a lot of folks, they want to believe that because they were conditioned to believe that. Same thing when he said that MS-19 are a bunch of animals, which they are. And then people say, oh, he said Mexicans are a bunch of animals. He didn't say that. When they said that Donald Trump said that that Mexicans are nothing but rapists and murderers, he did not say that. And when you show people the evidence, when you show them the receipts, they still want to believe the lie. You can shoot down every last one of the lies that they said about Donald Trump. And I'm not trying to do this because I'm, you know, trying to defend Donald Trump. I'm just using this as an example of the cognitive dissonance that plagues a lot of people's minds. And what is cognitive dissonance? It's when someone shows you the truth, but you still want to believe the lie. So I come on there, I put this up, and I delivered this statement on Facebook. I said, Donald Trump never said that white supremacists were very fine people. This was about 2 years ago, December 13, 2020. That was right before I started getting COVID for the first time. But I said, Donald Trump never said that white supremacists were very fine people. And so I reposted it on my Facebook page, and I added, nor did he insinuate that they were. He never insinuated that white supremacists were very fine people. So the first statement, the first comment I get from somebody, a person agreed with me, said, exactly, there are a surprising number of folks who have made this mistake. There were people protesting the statue and in favor of keeping it. He never said white supremacists or Nazis or any other negative group were fine people. He never did say that, nor did he insinuate it. So I get this idiot. If y'all hear any laughing in the background, that's my wife. She has this laugh that just makes my day. But anyway, so this idiot named Kelvin Spencer, and I speak freely about him because I kicked him off my friends list. I do that when people act stupid. And it wasn't because of what he believed in or anything like that. It was some things he said about me. And I said, okay, you're out of here. But he says, Trump's initial response to violent protests in Charlottesville, Virginia, it was at this press conference that Trump said you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. And he says, KS, very fine people. And said included a white supremacist. No, that's what you're insinuating. You're insinuating that he included white supremacists because you've been conditioned to believe that Donald Trump is a racist, which he is not. And so I respond to him. I said, he also said he wasn't talking about the KKK or white nationalists. He said they need to be condemned. And so he comes up and see, this is what you call a logical fallacy. You know, people try to twist things around to be what they really aren't. You know, he tells me at the rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017, it was only two sides. You had the racists and you had the counter-protesters of mixed races. Which side did you cheer for? So he's taking the jab at me. And so I respond to him. Well, no, I didn't respond to him, but someone else, one of my other Facebook friends, responded to him and said, Kelvin Spencer, thanks for showing that your reading comprehension is equal to your listening skills. Next, just stay home on election day. And then I showed Kelvin Spencer an article from USA Today. And this surprises me because I thought USA Today was Mongo liberal, was just big time liberal. And it's an article from October 2nd, 2020. And it starts, and the headline reads, Trump did condemn white supremacists. Too bad so many people won't listen. Exactly. They won't listen because they're already convinced that Donald Trump is a racist. And it says here, can we once and for all kill off the distortion that Donald Trump called white supremacists very fine people? In the very same comments people are always quoting from Virginia, Trump said, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists. And I even seen the video myself where he says this. The discredited issue rose like a zombie when presidential debate moderator Chris Wallace asked Democratic nominee Joe Biden to address President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, 3 years ago, when he talked about very fine people on both sides. The former vice president then gave an emotional account of the events and repeated the very fine people comment, adding that no president has ever said anything like that. And you all know, you know, that's Joe Biden. I don't take anything what he says with a grain of salt. And no, I don't believe Donald Trump is a racist. No. I don't believe Donald Trump is a racist. If you can point that out to me, I mean, point it out. Don't tell me this thing. Oh, he said so many things against black people. And no, I want you to point out to me what he actually said that is racist. And don't try the Mexican thing. I already refuted that. Don't try the Charlottesville, Virginia thing. I've already refuted that. And the article goes on to say, yes, Trump did and has repeatedly denounced white supremacists. Of course, because you didn't see that on the news, you're not going to believe that. Wallace's question and Biden's answer were based on a false premise. Yet it was amplified when Wallace asked President Trump whether he was willing to denounce white supremacists and militia groups. And Trump answered, sure, I'm willing to do that. And some people, they even take that statement and say, yeah, he just said, I'll do that, you know, hey, no. Before moving the discussion to left-wing violence, somehow sure was not translated into a yes answer by some observers, of course. And the president was left on the defensive again. Some prominent Republicans are urging the president to unequivocally denounce white supremacy as he previously has time and time again. A simpler and more direct answer would have been that, yes, President Trump denounces white supremacists and militia groups, has always denounced them, and always will, because that is the truth. It is the truth, and you can't deny it. Democrats persistently quote President Trump's comment out of context, twisting his words to mean the opposite of what he plainly meant, namely denouncing extremism. The president made the fine people statement at an August the 15th, 2017 press availability during a spirited discussion with journalists. Here is what he said in context. You had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very important statue, and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture. And you had people And I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you have many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists. Okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Now, in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers, and you see them come with the black outfits, with the helmets, and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group. Now, he made this statement in the very same speech where he said there are very fine people on both sides. Now, some of you all might be out there saying, well, maybe Trump shouldn't have said that, you know, because you know people, you know what, Trump was hated so bad he could... Trump was hated so bad, he could have sneezed the wrong way and people would have had a problem with it. I mean, for real. You know, nothing Donald Trump does, you know, is going to come off positive with the Trump haters out there. Those with TDS, Trump derangement syndrome. So I show this article to this idiot, and I'm not going to be nice. And I showed this to the guy, and one of my other friends said, Kelvin Spencer, you cut what he said in half, so basically you're telling a lie. Exactly. And he tried to quote me and said, Donald Trump never said that white supremacists were very fine people. That's my topic header. He said, actually, he did say you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. Later made alterations and attempted to clean this up. No, he said it in the very same speech where he said there were very fine people on both sides. But see, once again, he doesn't want to obey the truth. He doesn't want to focus in on the truth. He wants to focus in on the lie because he's been conditioned to believe that Donald Trump is a racist and he is not. And I told him, I said, Kelvin Spencer, in the same speech where you said Trump said white supremacists were fine people, he condemned white supremacists. The news media edited, altered it to make it seem he said something else. And you, along with many others, fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Now, when someone shows you what he actually said, you don't care about the truth. You cling to your cognitive dissonance. And, of course, cognitive dissonance, once again, is when you show the truth, but people still want to believe the lie. So he wants to go into, see, and this is a typical response from liberals. When you don't think like they do, and not just liberals, but, you know, the apostles of blackness, he comes on here, he says, it was not a speech. It was a Q&A after a speech. Dude, it was a speech. All you had to do was read the article. And he said, and you have huge, quote unquote, cognitive dissonance. I love Trump no matter what he do or lie about to overcome. Folks, anyone who knows me on this show knows I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. The only thing I was a fan of were his policies. Now, you can see me on Facebook wearing a MAGA hat and everything, and I just wore the MAGA hat to, you know, just to stir up a bunch of people. I wasn't wearing that to say, yeah, Trump, yeah, all right. And then he wants to get stupid. He said, did you buy some Trump digital cards yet? Please post them when you're up. And that's when I kicked him off because I said, now you're getting stupid. You're getting real stupid now. And that's when I kicked him off. Now, about these Trump cards, I think Trump might be pushing it a little bit too much with these. Now, hey, you're free to do whatever. This is my opinion. You know, a lot of people like, hey, Trump, you know, he them cards sold out and everything. I think the cards just speak to his ego. I really do. But you can, hey, look, if you bought them, you got them and everything, hey, more to you. Hey, I am not mad at you if you got Trump cards, but I just think the cards are just going, pushing a little bit too far. And let's see, am I Bring a Boye says President Trump is such a great force against those that hate him. All the shots they made at him, it's time to answer their claims and debunk all the lies. I mean, they've been throwing things at Donald Trump since 2015, and none of it has stuck. None of it. Not one accusation that people have thrown at Donald Trump has stuck, but they still tried to keep at it. We got to get rid of this man. And that just shows you the level of hatred they have. And New Orleans Wake Up says, Trump is gone. He ain't becoming president again. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure about that. And Bring It Boye says, come on, Vince. There is little in you. How, I don't know what he's saying here. Trump as a man gets you through the day. Hello, I don't know what he's saying right there. And it says, I will vote for President Trump in 2024, 28, 32 if he's on the ticket. Hey. And I ain't got no problem with that. I'm not mad with folks like that. You know, that's my buddy Pianchi. Pianchi, good gracious. Dude sends me so much stuff on my Facebook page. I man, I can't even swallow it all. My goodness. This dude needs to be, he needs to have his own channel or something. Because he throws so much current events at me. It's like, I can't take it. And says, Pianchi, have you heard anything about Mr. Washington? I don't know anything about that. But, yeah, this is what I call cognitive dissonance. Or this is what is known as cognitive dissonance. And when people do this type of stuff, and some of you all out there, you all might say, oh, you got thin skin. Oh, you're so emotional. No, to me, it has nothing to do with being thin-skinned or emotional. But when you go here and you start, you know, going off onto the character assassinations and the ad hominem attacks, it tells me that you have lost a level of respect for me. And it means this conversation is not going anywhere, which means I have nothing further to say to you. No, you're not hurting my widow feelings or anything like that. It's just that I understand that you have left the realm of respectfulness and that there's no reason for me to talk to you anymore. And people are told, oh, you need to get some thick skin. It has nothing to do with being thick skinned. Because like I said before, you can say anything you want to about me. You're going to strengthen my resolve. But when I'm in control, I can do with you whatever I want to. Okay. So there goes that thin skin thing out. I can look. Some people they'll take it. They'll take it forever. Me, I'm like, if you're going to be disrespectful, then I have nothing more to say to you. There's no need of us carrying on a conversation because you're going to still use these little penny ante kindergarten sandbox slinging matches. Because somebody doesn't think like you do, because apparently your whittle feelings have been hurt. And you just want to sling sand from the sandbox like a little kindergartner. And I'm like, nah. And see, even there's a scripture in the Bible that says, cast ye not your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So once you say what you had to say and they don't want to hear it, hey, go on about your business. So when you start you start them little name calling matches and everything and stuff like that, that just lets me know you have stepped out of the realm of respect, and you basically don't want to hear anything else I have to say. You just because you have been backed into a corner like a cat, and because you have no way to get out, you start hissing it. And it's like, oh, okay, kitty, okay, I'll leave you alone. You go right ahead. Just letting you all know, just letting you all know where I stand. That's where I stand. And I love doing this program. I love it. And I get some characters on here that, you know, well, I think you're this and I think you're that. Well, you can think about me whatever you want to. But you're not going to intimidate me on my own program, especially when you're in my house. When you're in my house, I have the control. Like, if you come in my house and you just slap me for no reason, I have every reason to find a way to get you out of my house. I can kick you out. And you can talk about, oh, I hurt his little feelings. Once again, you're doing that little kindergarten sand-slinging mess. I let people know. I let them know, you know, you got nothing to intimidate here. I'm not going to back off into a corner and say, okay, well, you know, too many people are saying. Look, one thing I understand is that the majority, just because the majority of people believe something, does not mean that it is right. And I'm the type of person, I can be 5 million people can have one point of view and I have another point of view. I'm not changing my point of view if I know that point of view is the truth. I'm just saying. It was something else, too, I wanted to talk about, too. And this one just floored me when I saw it. And I think this is one of the articles that Pianki, much thanks to Pianki, let me just state that for the record, much thanks to Pianki for the articles that he shares with me on Facebook. Let's see if I can find it. I got so Pianki put so much stuff on here, it just choked my doggone feed on my Facebook. But I'm gonna find it. But this one just totally blew my mind. It just told me what kind of world we actually live in, how cuckoo this world has become these days. And hopefully, I don't know why it won't come up, but it's on here because I just seen it this morning. Ah, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And I think Pianki did share this with me, if I'm correct. And this one really has me blown away. This one really has me blown away big time. And I titled it, you know, when I posted it on my Facebook feed, it says, "Time to get myself in a little trouble." And not a lot of people responded to it, though. I was hoping a lot of people responded to it. But this comes from AP News. Excuse me. And this is dated December 12th of this year, December 12th, 2022. Breonna Taylor's boyfriend settles lawsuits over shooting. Breonna Taylor's boyfriend. This one had me thrown for a big loop. And we all know about Breonna Taylor. She was unfortunately lost her life. And I think it was March of 2020. Some police officers, they had a no-knock warrant. They came to her house, but they decided to knock anyway, which I think that was decent. Her boyfriend thought it was somebody else. He hits one of the police officers in the leg. The officers return fire, and Breonna Taylor gets killed. Now, a lot of people are not asking the question, how in the world did Breonna Taylor get killed and her boyfriend didn't, and he was the one that had the gun? The only conclusion I can come to is that he used Breonna as a human shield. That's the only conclusion I can come to. That hasn't been confirmed, but that's the only conclusion I can come to. But it says here, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend settles lawsuits over shooting. Louisville, Kentucky. The boyfriend of Breonna Taylor, who fired a shot at police as they burst through Taylor's door the night she was killed, has settled two lawsuits against the city of Louisville, his attorney said Monday. The city agreed to pay $2 million to settle lawsuits filed by Kenneth Walker in federal and state court. One of his attorneys, Steve Steve Romine said in a statement. He added that Taylor's death will haunt Kenny for the rest of his life. Here, this $2 million ought to ease the pain of losing your girlfriend. He will live life with the effects of being put in harm's way due to a falsified warrant, which it was not falsified, to being a victim of a hailstorm of gunfire, and to suffering the unimaginable and horrific death of Breonna Taylor, Romine said. Walker and Taylor were settled in bed for the night when they were roused by banging on her apartment door around midnight on March 13, 2020. Police were outside with a drug warrant, and they used a battering ram to knock down the door. Walker fired a single shot from a handgun, striking Sergeant John Mattingly in the leg. Mattingly and two other officers then opened fire, killing Taylor. The case highlighted the issue of no-knock warrants, which allow law enforcement agents to enter a home without announcing their presence, and led to a reexamination of the practice. Now, here's the problem I have with that. It was a no-knock warrant, but they still knocked. So why are you questioning why do you need to reexamine the practice? They still knocked. They didn't have to, but they did. Walker was initially charged with attempted murder of a police officer, but charges against him were eventually dropped as protests and news media attention on the Taylor case intensified in the spring of 2020. Of course, because, you know, Walker's a black guy and the police that shot at him were white. So, you know, and when this story came out, people were saying, oh, she was sleeping while black. That's why they shot her. They shot her because she was sleeping while black. She was not asleep when they shot, when she was shot. And no one asked the question, well, wait a minute, how did Breonna Taylor, I think they said they fired eight times, if I'm correct, and that she was hit five times. So how the heck did her boyfriend fire the gun and Breonna Taylor was the one that ended up getting killed? Her boyfriend didn't have a scratch on him. But nobody asked that question. All they care about, oh, Breonna Taylor, she was black. She was a beautiful black woman, this black queen of a woman. And these evil white people came and they just shot up her apartment for no reason at all. She was just sleeping. No, she wasn't sleeping. Walker told investigators he didn't know police were at the door and he thought an intruder was trying to break in. And, you know, I can't fault him for that. I can't fault him for that, but he fired the gun. Earlier this year, U.S. Justice Department prosecutors charged three Louisville officers with a conspiracy to falsify the Taylor warrant. One of the now former officers, Kelly Goodlett, has pleaded guilty and admitted to helping create a false link between Taylor and a wanted drug dealer. Walker wrote in an opinion piece in the Washington Post in August that a police officer had finally taken some responsibility for the death of my girlfriend. No, it wasn't that police officer's responsibility. And I know the police officer said, yeah, I did this. And he probably could have just falsified the thing so we could get off real well. You know, he probably just admitted, said, yeah, it was a falsified warrant. Knowing all the problems that this failed raid would create, the Louisville police tried to use me as a scapegoat to deflect blame, he wrote. It almost worked. You all ever notice, you know, these people get caught in trouble with the officers, with the law, and somebody ends up getting killed, and then they pay millions of dollars to their families or whatever. Now, given Kenneth Walker was not related to Breonna Taylor, that's the thing that blows my mind in this whole thing. He wasn't related to her. He wasn't biologically related or anything like that. And Breonna Taylor's name was on the warrant. People said her name wasn't on. It was on the warrant. And, you know, people started showing all these pictures. They started showing all these pictures of Breonna Taylor as an EMT worker. She hadn't been an EMT worker in 4 years because she was caught with a dead body in her rental car. And she was fired as a result. See, I really do believe that the responsibility for Breonna Taylor's death falls on her own head because she was hanging around with unsavory characters. You know how some of our parents used to tell us, don't hang out with the wrong crowd because they can lead you to the they'll lead you wrong, something like that. Don't hang out with the wrong crowd; they can get you in trouble, something like that. That's what happened with Breonna Taylor. And I'm not saying that Breonna Taylor needed to die. I'm not saying that she deserved to die. So just in case you all say that, just in case you all thinking that I'm thinking that, no, I am not thinking that. No, she did not deserve to die. But yeah, Bring It Boy is saying it, said the right thing. We never heard any more about the dead body in the rental car. Never did. What are you talking about, Warren? Don't come in here. Don't come in here with that mess. Don't come in here. Said they lied, Vince. Why are you still looking for a reason to blame the victims? They're not victims. Your view and position doesn't make any sense. Your view and position don't make any sense. Don't come in here with that. Don't come in here with that. I'm not trying to blame the victims. Yes, Breonna Taylor was a victim. Her boyfriend was not. Her boyfriend was not a victim. Kenneth Walker was not a victim. Breonna Taylor was. And Breonna Taylor just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I've had people say, you know, they were trying to get rid of Breonna Taylor's apartment, and that's why the police came and written. Look, she was upstairs. Why didn't they raid the downstairs? They're trying to gentrify that area, and they want to get rid of all the black people. And I'm like, you all are reading too much into this. Way too much into this. And you say even Pianki is trying to be fair on this one. Tell me how he's being fair. I mean, really. And Pianki says, granted, the police department error in many ways, media mixed truth with false information. There you go right there. Media mixed truth with false information. The police cover-ups were wrong. The dead body was in another car, not hers. It was a rental car that they found the dead body in. But this still doesn't mean that the police killed Breonna Taylor simply because she was black. And it said, I didn't say Kenneth Walker wasn't in the house. I'm just saying, how in the world did he end up not getting shot when he's the one that fired the gun? And it sounds to me like he used her as a body shield. And Pianki continues, he says, but Breonna made some bad choices that had some deadly consequences. The police should have waited longer and gave the criminal elements more rope to hang themselves. And I totally agree with that. And no, I'm not giving it up. You can tell me to give it up. Oh, you look, Warren, don't come here with that, please. Don't come here with that. And once again, Pianki spitting truth. Her former DeMarcus Grover was the culprit. Yeah, her former boyfriend was the main one they were looking for. But if Breonna Taylor hadn't hung around with some unsavory characters, she'd be alive today. That's the problem. And, you know, we can say the police lied, which they probably did, maybe. Her name was on the warrant. But she was not killed because she was black. I'm not creating false charges. I'm not creating false charges. What false charges? Your argument is baseless. I'm just stating the facts. And we all don't know everything that happened. That's why I'm still trying to figure out how in the world Breonna Taylor ended up dead. Except the notion that her boyfriend used her as a human shield. How in the world did he fire and she got shot, but he didn't? And yeah, once again, Police knocked but didn't identify themselves. The dude in the apartment had Fourth Amendment protection to protect himself. Yes, he did. The whole thing is a tragedy. Exactly. It's a messed up situation that shouldn't have happened, but it did. And a young lady lost her life because of it. I'm not inventing facts. Facts are always there, you know. Now you wanted me to come on your show tomorrow, and you know, I'm not coming on your show if I'm facing this type of foolishness. You can forget it. I'm not going to be coming on your show if you're going to be hitting me with this type of foolishness. I'm not coming on your show because I have no time for it. I said I don't know everything, and once again, here's Bianchi spitting out facts. Matter of fact, if they had chose to do a no knock, she would possibly. I think that's what he's trying to say. Would possibly not have gotten killed. And I believe that too, if they had done a no knock. But they I don't know why they chose to knock anyway. I don't know why they chose to do that. Her name was on the warrant, but I don't know why her name was on there. But it was just the tragedies like this continue to happen. They're always going to happen. And that's just the nature of the beast. Welcome to the human race. Things like this are going to happen. But when people get out there and they talk about Black Lives Matter and that this had something to do with her being black, her skin color, she's minding her business, and these police officers just came in and just wanted to shoot up an apartment, then that's a problem. I'm not chickening out. But if you're going to do this type of foolishness, I don't want to be on your show. You can say whatever you want to, but I don't have time for the foolishness. That's the thing. You know, and like I said, I don't know every possible thing that happened. You know, we'll probably never figure out everything that happened during that incident. But the fact is, Breonna Taylor was not killed because she was black. And why nobody is trying to figure out how in the world she ended up getting killed, but her boyfriend came off scot-free, nobody's asking those questions. All they doing, Black Lives Matter, say her name. And there are people working in the capacity of police of all sex and skin colors who should not be there. Yes, exactly. It was the people of Louisville who should carry much of the blame for allowing their police department to be so. Exactly. The people ultimately bear the responsibility. Exactly. Who are you talking about? Incorrect information. I told you I don't know everything that happened, but she wasn't killed. So you're telling me that the fact that she wasn't killed because she was black, that's incorrect information? Tell me how you know she got killed because she was black. But anyway, I'm at the top of the hour. It's time for me to do the advertisements. And when I'm finished, I will come back and I will take your phone calls. You're listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her Constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military, too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM, and see what happens then, where America always wins.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh. Then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzz driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
All right, all right. We're at the top of the hour. Once again, if you'd like to call into the program as a guest, call in number 646-478-5284, 646-478-5284. And I see the callers there. I'm going to get to you all shortly. I need to clear something up. I want to make sure that people understand where I stand on this Breonna Taylor thing. Okay. I don't pretend to know all the answers of what happened in that case. Okay. I don't know everything that happens in all in any of these cases that happened over the years. All I know is that when we talk about the Breonna Taylors and we talk about the Michael Browns and the Trayvon Martins and the George Floyds and everything, one thing we have to understand is that these people were not killed because they were black. I'm not getting angry. Go ahead, man. Go ahead with that mess. Come on now. Ain't no one angry. See, there you go again. There you go. Ain't no one getting angry. I'm not trying to purport that I know everything that happened. I don't know everything that happened with George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. I don't know everything that happened with Michael Brown. I don't know everything that happened with George Floyd. All I know is the uproar that the people made about these cases was to the point of this had something to do with their skin color, and that's the only reason why these people met their fates. Because if it was a white person, then they wouldn't have met the fate that they would have. Even though I can give examples like Daniel Shavers and Tony Tempa. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know every single detail of how these cases came about and materialized. So, but anyway, it's time for me to do a little fruit bat cleaning. To my fruit bats, they act like they don't want to fly out of the cave. But anyway, you all know that this is when you hear that sound, that means I'm going to the phones, which means if I pick up the phone and you want to involve yourself in some type of foolishness, you best hang up now. And I'm talking about ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, character assassinations, random insults, trolling, things of that sort. It will prompt me to go to the little orange X button in my queue and kick you off. Now, if you want to involve yourself in this type of foolishness, you best hang up now or I'll be happy to oblige you. And once again, here's New Orleans talking about you are allowed to speak on this forum, Vince, as long as you present a certain right-wing perspective. I don't have a right-wing perspective. What's a right-wing perspective? All I care about is the truth. And he said, and in my view, this is not being a free thinker. Okay, well then, who are you anyway? You know, I mean, for real. It says, I know Michael Brown was not killed because he was black. It would not been any riots if outsiders had not arrived in the city of Ferguson. They tore up a Nigerian pharmacy who was a friend. And Pianki knows about that area because I think that's his stomping ground. So, you know. But you, like I said, Warren, but anyway, let me go to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? Why you spend so much with one individual on innuendos?
Yeah, that's a thing I need to stop doing, really. That's a shortcoming of mine.
You know, people talk about white supremacy. White supremacy does exist because when you look at certain categorical businesses and industries and operations, those who have been doing that for a long time, those who have prevailed in that economically, their faces generally is white.
Mm-hmm.
And those who don't like that, they should compete against them.
Exactly.
The faces of those that prevailed in the erection of tall office buildings and the erection of bridges across rivers, highways, and railroads, and industrial work like for Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, were white till I came on the scene. And 95% of my workforce was white because there was no blacks doing this stuff. You know, I worked on a project for Bethlehem Steel in Detroit.
Oh,
back
okay.
In like 1993. Bethlehem Steel paid my travel to the job, paid my food, and paid my housing, paid toward my housing while I was on their project. It was an office building there on Highway 75. And the only landmark that I can relate to it now is that it was either across or near a highway patrol station. And the connectors on that job, I ain't going to say they was connectors, but maybe they were. I don't remember. They came out of Canada. They were the Indians. I think they was the Navajo. Because you have in the early period of that type of work where you're working high off the ground and walking around on stuff no wider than the palm of your hand. And if you make a mistake, you fall 300 feet, they were Indians. So they were supreme in that those operations for a long time, not exclusively, but, you know, for an identifiable group. I had some Canadian Indians work in a crew of mine there in St. Louis, and they don't pay taxes.
Oh, okay.
They wasn't paying any taxes on their payroll. They had to do it by the number of deductions that they declare on their W-2. They always, I don't remember how many, but I know they claim a lot. But that's what they put down. I didn't tell them how to fill them out. Fill them out how they want to.
Yeah.
So, yes, the white supremacy does exist. And like I said,
And I know what you're saying. So, you know, we talk about white supremacy so much and everything. Why don't we just try to, you know, compete with them. I mean, we've done it in sports, basketball, baseball.
Yeah, because basketball used to be a Jewish sport.
Exactly, and it was white dominated. But then black folks came in and they just took it over. I mean, I don't know how many what the percentage is of black people who play who are in the NBA, 70-80% whatever, and the NFL is 73%. You know, I mean, just compete with them. I mean, people keep crying about, you know, oh, we don't have enough black people here, we don't have enough black people there. Well, you get enough black people who are qualified for it, you know, maybe that'll change. And also keep in mind, we're only 12 to 13% of the people in this country, so we're not going.
Well, actually, it's less than that because you got a discount. You got a discount children under 18.
Yeah. So
when you discount them, it's less than that percentage, and especially numerically. But you do have blacks that will show up. You know, the ones that do it is Nigerian. Nigeria is one of the best business minds that I can witness, and also academically, especially in areas of mathematics and science. You know, Ethiopia built some new schools, and I think that they recruited Nigerians for teaching math in their schools. And when you look at blacks in math and science at the top of the list, are Nigerians. And we look at, you know, funny thing too, I was making reference, just like when you look at the Nobel Peace Prizes in science, mathematics, medicine, and that, the only realm that you see blacks is in peace itself. And you have one in literature, which is Toni Morrison. But Nelson Mandela, peace. Martin Luther King, peace.
Peace, yep.
Another guy in Nigeria, he was for peace. You had a lady in Ethiopia. Now, she'd done a lot of things with the reforestation of desertified areas, and I forget which one she wanted in. But when you come down to the Nobel Peace Prize, the ones that who identified himself that has a predominance in a lot of areas is Jews, and also the United States. China don't match up with the United States as of yet. China got a long ways to go. They're not going to beat. I don't even think they're going to get there. United States
is
there.
Oh, you don't think so?
No,
they're trying. You know that the Chinese, they're trying to get into every aspect. You know, I heard the Chinese got like two, I forget how many police stations they have set up in the U.S. You know, they got a large population of themselves,
they are able to establish police stations. I know they even have police stations in African countries like Gambia. But plus they have utilized reverse engineering, because if they had to come from the very infancy in some areas, they wouldn't have been able to do it. Like, you know, if you and I was going to build a automobile, we wouldn't mimic a Model A Ford. You mimic what the latest design and technology that's used in automobiles today. But they don't have a Blue Seas Navy. And they tried to put in orbit some satellites here the other day, and the rocket blew up.
Oh, wow.
Which that there is an occurrence in the groups that's trying to do just that.
Yeah. And you notice the fighter jets that they have. They mimic the SU-27 of the Soviet Union, the old SU-27s, and they also mimic I think a F-35. You know,
Soviet Union has been very, very great in aviation, just like the United States.
That's one thing that you can
call white supremacy when you come down to aviation.
Yeah,
and something else you can associate to white supremacy when you come down to wars. They kick ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you go back as far back, you can go back in time, it was people with white skin that reign supreme when it comes down to doing what we call world wars.
Yeah.
Now, there have been other groups throughout history that had their moments in the sun, but in the modern time, it's been white males.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad to live in America.
No one's trying to deny the fact that there are white supremacists, you know, and I get a lot of people telling me that, oh, you don't think there are any white supremacists? You don't think there's any racism? Oh, yeah, there's racism. Yes, there are white people in this country that hate black people. Yes, there are, you know, and I'd be stupid to think that there aren't. But that's a condition you're going to find in almost every country you go into. There's going to be some type of prejudice or racism or whatever in those countries. And I'm not trying to dismiss that there are white supremacists in this country, but people mm-hmm. make it like they are the main ones holding us back when they cannot hold us back.
Holding no blacks back. You go to any country around any ethnic group, even if they all got the same skin color, you're going to have those in that group that excels in certain areas, especially when it comes down to economics and business. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and that's the way it's going to be for forever, you know, till Jesus comes back. You know, it's going to be that way. You know, so when they talk about let's end racism and all that, you're not going to end it. I mean, it might go undercover, you know, and people might not be as expressive about their racism, but you're not going to end racism. That's why it ticks me off whenever I see a highlight of a football game and they got end racism in their end zone. You're not going to end it, you know, and if you're going to talk about racism, don't just talk about the white on black kind. Let's talk about the black on white kind or the black on Hispanic kind. Anybody can be a racist. Anybody.
Yeah, for the definition of what racism is, it's an act. And, heck, look at Nigeria. Nigeria, at one time, I don't know what the percentage is now, when whites control 100% of offshore oil well drilling, they came along and they control at least 20%, 18 to 20% of offshore oil well drilling. Now, who was working them? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know they put out a lot of engineers. Shipbuilding. Whites used to control shipbuilding. Guess who controls that now? It's Daewoo of Heavy Industries in South Korea and also the Chinese. Largest ports, Chinese. Yep. Matter of fact, the top 10 largest ports where they can hold the tonnage. They have the berth, the ships, Chinese.
Yeah.
Or should I say Asians? Yep.
Mm-hmm. So
Switzerland?
It's probably mostly Chinese. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me, let's see. I got two more callers on here. Let me get the second one. I don't know why it takes so long. Hey, caller, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
What's cracking? Hey, Iredale, what's up, man?
Hold on, what voice is it? That sounds familiar.
That's the voice of the guy who's been stalking you, man.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, like pecan pie.
You know what? You talking about character assassination? I need to boot both of y'all off of Vincent's show right now. Okay.
What do we do? We've been asking about you.
They've been asking about you for the past couple of weeks.
They're like, "Where's Iredale, man? Where's he at?"
Yeah, but I figured I just got back in home. I said, "Let me give you catch the second half of this show and everything." So I really don't have much to say. I'm just here listening
to
the show.
You never do.
You know what, man? Are you in Louisiana or are you in Missouri right now, sir?
I don't know. I had to go outside and look at the license plates on the car.
No, you don't. No, you don't, because down here where I'm at, Sometime I see some license plates from Alaska. Sometime I see them from California. And then there's others I've seen from outside the country. So don't even try that one, sir. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, both of y'all.
Thank you very much.
And Vincent, I'm disappointed in you, Vincent, because I thought you was my Ace Boon Coon for many years. But you when you get around him as well as the other guy named Chase, y'all like the double team. But that's okay. You know, I already know how y'all got it.
We just around you. We supplying supports from all different angles.
No comment. But let me just say this.
I know what I want to ask you. I know what I want to ask you. What's your favorite dish around this time of the year, Christmas and New Year's?
Well, I have several. I love greens. I love, turkey or Cornish hens. And I love candy yams.
Oh, I'm good at fixing all three of them.
Oh, so you're going to invite me over to your house?
Yeah, if I cook. I can't find no greens down here in Louisiana.
Really?
Mixed greens.
Where you at in Louisiana, man?
Right outside of Baton Rouge. They had some mustard greens. But you can't find the mustard, spinach, turnip, and collards like we do up there in Missouri.
Oh, okay. Well, you about how far are you from New Orleans?
Oh, I'm way east from New Orleans. I ain't driving down there.
Yeah,
you're crazy.
He's basically in the northern part of the state, Baton Rouge. Yeah.
I can do a job with those candy yams. I use real yams now. I don't like them canned stuff. And I candy them. And, man, they real good.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. Well,
I might come to your place for Christmas. Shoot.
But I'm going to do a duck.
Well,
I got to go out and find me a duck. I think I know I can get one.
Well, you know what? I won't be coming. If you come, Vincent, I'm not going to come because once y'all gain up on me, I'm going to turn the place inside out, upside down, left, right, and everywhere else I can, man, okay?
What size turkey you get? About a 24-pound?
We couldn't find turkey. I mean, we could find turkeys, but, you know, we're just a small group of people. So we just got a couple of Cornish hens, which was good, too. Everything was good.
My grandson eat a whole Cornish hen by himself.
I still have it. I ate on it about three or four times. Then I stuck it in my freezer. So it's been in the freezer for the last couple of weeks. I say, well, it'll last a long time in the freezer. You know, they gave me a whole pan. They gave me a whole pan of stuff to bring back. Not that much meat, but everything else I got. You know what I'm saying? So.
Any of y'all eat a goose?
No, but I know one thing. Well, I know one thing.
Come on up here to North Carolina. Come on up to North Carolina, and you got all the geese you want. Man, we got geese like roaches up here.
But
I will tell you this. I know I am dealing with two turkeys right now, okay?
Oh my goodness! We've been nice all the time. You want
to?
He got us talking, and we left that door open, and he just came and walked right into it.
I sacked both of y'all. Yes, I did. And not only that, you know, it should be a little warmer in here with all that hot air. Both of y'all blowing from Louisiana. And North Kakalaki, okay?
Yeah, shoot, it's cold.
Oh, my goodness. See, there you go. I told you.
appreciate it.
No problem. I'm just listening to this show. I had enough of you two trying to gain up for me.
And your sister, your sister Retta, she says, I agree. So she agrees with you, Iredale.
Ooh, I'm glad somebody agreed with me. Yeah, I need to kick y'all off and have Greta as a host. Things would be a little quick. Listen, Greta, I didn't mean to leave you out, but Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and your family.
All right, Dale. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. Be careful now, Dale. Don't be going over. When you go over, you can't be eating food at all the women's houses now because they put something in there. They put something
you
in
hear
the
that,
food.
I'm glad you unmuted me. Excuse me. I trust you even less, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
You know the women put up in your food and have you acting funny.
You know what? I can cook my own food. I don't need no woman to cook for me. In fact, I probably can out some cook some women. But anyway, let Mr. Vincent
and they try to make friends
back
to you like that. I had one woman one time come walk up and see her. She stayed over the way. I got a plate of food here. I said, you welcome. I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. I just got you eating.
Oh my goodness!
And you know you hate to. I ain't somebody walk up to you, hand you some. No way. I don't know this woman.
I know that's right. Shoot.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, Dale. Y'all. Retta says thank you. So.
No problem.
All right. I'm gonna put you on mute, and I'm gonna get this other caller. All righty. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, this is Brother Warren from New Orleans Wake Up. I'm in New Orleans, and Baton Rouge is approximately 81 miles west of New Orleans. It takes approximately 1 hour and 10 minutes to drive from New Orleans to Baton Rouge. So just setting the record straight about the geographical locations in my home state. Now, Vince, what are you going to do? Okay. You going to come on the show tomorrow or what?
I don't want any of this foolishness, man.
Well, how do you define foolishness? Now, see,
you're on here saying that I'm only allowed to speak on this forum as long as I'm from a certain right-wing perspective. I don't bring a right-wing perspective. All I try to bring is the truth. One thing you got to understand about me is I'm not about politics. I'm all about the truth, you know. I'm just as hard on Republicans as I am on Democrats. If you screw up, I've got something to say to you, you know. So I'm not coming from a right wing perspective. And you saying this is not being a free thinker.
the channel is called Conservative Nation Radio. So
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, but that does not mean that I identify totally as a conservative. Like I said before,
Democrats,
I said I lean
conservative.
I consider myself a conservative.
What I'm saying, will you be on the show tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern?
I'll be there.
Okay, do you have my station's telephone number?
I can find it because
I can give it to you now. You got pen and paper, and then I'll put it in the chat. You got pen and paper?
I got pen and paper right here.
Okay, 516-387.
516-387.
1933. My program is called New Orleans Wake Up.
Yeah.
And,
I've been on your program a couple of times. I checked out a couple of your programs this past week.
Which ones did you listen to?
It was which one did I listen to? They were fairly recent.
Okay, so I'm going to set the show up. And Piaki, with all of the incredible things you've done with Steel Erection, could you refer me to some articles written about you? Because I'd like to get you on as a guest about your field. Is there any articles you can refer me to, interviews you've done?
Nope. Matter of fact, I got a friend of mine that done a lot of pictures.
Well, I'm sure there should be some interviews done with you in magazines, newspapers, local newspapers in the cities. Chamber of Commerce, you know, black organizations. You don't have anything you can refer me to read?
Nope. Mine is real live people.
Okay.
Nothing right. of the sort.
Okay. So yeah, Vince, we're going to talk about our opposing opinions about things, and we're going to we're going to defend our position so listeners could understand people's points of view and based on what and how they reach those conclusions.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, I'm about the truth. I know I'm on a program called Conservative News Media. I know I'm on that, but I lean conservative. I let people know that I lean conservative. I don't consider myself a conservative. I am a black free thinker who is a born again Christian.
Well, look, how does this sound if somebody say this? If somebody say they lean towards being a gay, but they're not gay. How would you take that?
Doesn't mean that they're gay.
Conservatism is a political position. Gay is a sexual preference. It's a whole lot of difference there.
Well, I mean, both seems to be based on a person's choice and will and decision. I'm just using that as an example of, you know, when somebody say I lean this way, but I'm not that. I was using that as an example.
And you have people from all political spectrums that are considered, when you look at their policies and their wants, and that they're conservative. I'm just looking at my tax bill down here, $92. This is a conservative state. Hey, got L.A. The guy got a friend in Florida. No, he's got property in New York. Hey, his tax bill, $4,000.
Yeah.
I built my house in Missouri that I designed, built, was 4,000 square feet. And how many rooms? 14 rooms, and the tax bill on that was, where I live, was about $400 a year. Now, with my daughter's home, there in north, further north of me, her tax bill is about $2,000. But if it was in New York or in Illinois, yeah, it would be completely off the charts. So those are what I call, in that particular aspect, is what I call a good conservative area. And it makes a difference,
Boy,
too.
Bring it, Boye says you can be conservative without being Republican. That is so true, you know. But certain people, when they get to talking a certain way, people, they jump to the politics and they say, well, you sound like this, so you must be a this. And I tell people, I just go for the truth. And I'm not a type of person who thinks he knows everything or wants to pretend that he knows everything or gives a face that, you know, everything. You know, I'm a type of person, I like to learn too, but I just want people to understand where I am coming from, instead of just jumping to conclusions and say, "Oh, you're this, you're this, you're this." No, that's not how I operate. You know, politics is not my deal. I don't understand politics. I don't know why certain people get into it or whatever. That's just how I am. I'm a person. I like to be straight up, and I'm going to be straight up with everybody. I don't care if you're conservative, liberal, Democrat, libertarian, Republican, I don't care what you are. If you do something that I don't agree with, I'm going to call you out on it. That's just how it is.
I hope people
do me the same way. Because I don't have everything. I haven't arrived myself. And if I do something wrong, I will hope that people would point it out, say, Vincent, hey, you're wrong. You know. So if I know the truth, go ahead.
I had some. Democratic friends of mine, Jamila Nasheed, Alfred Alameen, and Rodney Hubbard, I supported them. They were Democrats, but they supported school choice in Missouri. But never have I ever witnessed a politician at the level of presidency that supported so many things that I supported. From school choice with vouchers to protection of American manufacturing and businesses by the implication of tariffs on foreign products coming into the country, gun control, or should I say the Second Amendment, the hell of gun control, and, you know, border protection. Nobody done it like Donald Trump said when I went to his rallies. So I had to give him hands up on that. Taxation,
well,
lowering the taxes, inheritance tax. You know, of course, everybody is not in that position. But hell, if you leave a lot of money with your child, your children, grandchildren, over $10 million, you got four or five of them, you're going to give them $10 million apiece. Well, these states are taxed, not only the states, the federal government taxed the hell out of it. They want to take as much as 60% of it.
Yeah,
and that's money coming out of the bank. That ain't nothing you went out and earned the night before.
Yeah.
That's money you've already paid taxes on.
Exactly. And they want to put more taxes on it.
And don't try to pass the farm on to somebody, one of your kids, because the taxes on that will have you having to sell a quarter of your acres just to pay the taxes. That's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, Warren, you
want to
say something?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I'll be expecting, because I'm going to get off here now. I'll be expecting you tomorrow for 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, my time, New Orleans wake up. So I've given you the call-in number. And I, in Pianki, I hope you can find an article, at least one little write-up on you, something about your work. Since you have so much on everything else and everybody else, you should have something in your resume, portfolio that you should be willing to share with people so they can kind of see what extraordinary contribution to human civilization you've done and all the great wealth you've accumulated.
I tell you what I could do. I ain't going to do that because the company's not in business no more. No, I've done it. You can talk to people. They'll tell you.
Okay, then. All right, Vince, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
I don't look for no accolades. Don't look for none. I remember one time my banker, Craig Fowler, his mother was a beautiful person. She used to run the West End Community Center. Craig was my personal banker, young black gentleman, but highly liberal. Me and him getting some arguments over that. I was doing a job. I was doing a project. I was putting up a school, investigative learning, on Oakland Avenue there in St. Louis. And he wanted to come out and do just what Warren just got through talking about. He wanted to get some video. He wanted to get some pictures of me and him. And so we unrolled some drawings, and we standing there. He had on his hard hat. I had on mine. Of course, I had. And he had somebody. We act like we was looking at the drawings, which you were. And the person that was photographing it was putting us, framing us. And by the time he shut the shutter, clicked the shutter, one of my crazy workers had fell off the beam down into a sand pile. And we could see his blur in the background.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't get hurt, but that was that time. But we had, I got some pictures. I got pictures of my daughter, me and her. And I don't have them. Eddie has them. Eddie was a good friend of mine. I've known him in high school. Well, coming out of high school. And he worked for me. And we got pictures of the Metropolitan Building in downtown St. Louis, which is the tallest building in St. Louis. It's got a green top. And me and my daughter is up on the top floor. We're using the helicopter. Ben Hur is using the helicopter to take down their erection equipment. And the picture is me and her in the foreground. And this helicopter, which is a Bell, is in the right there alongside of us, you know, right off to the way. And it's just getting ready to go down with a piece. So that was a good picture. Then I got pictures of my wife on the building. My daughter's on the building when she was a little girl. You know the thing I like about those pictures? She was a little girl, skinny leg. And my wife is there sitting on a toolbox with the arch in the background. And then I show a picture of my grandson, her son, getting off of Egypt Air jet after arriving in Egypt. And he's a little boy about the size she was when I took that picture of her on the building.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So those bring back memories.
Yeah, and I understand how you say you don't like to show the accolades or anything like that, because that's the type of person I am. I you know, whatever I do, you know, I say to God, be the glory, and be done with it. You know, I don't like to make myself out as bigger than I am, or you know, make myself to be out all that. I just want to do what I know to do to help somebody else out. That's all, you know.
Well, yeah, it is. No matter how well things are planned, see, in my field of work when I was doing it, is that you base things that you contemplate on doing tomorrow is based on experiences of the past. And it's those experiences of the past that help you to avoid and run a project smoothly without losing any life. I never did lose one man. No workers got killed working for me, even though the category of work that we done was extremely dangerous. So no matter how well you plan something, there's got to be one more element that you have no control over. And people call it many things. They call it fate. They call it luck. But whatever it is, you got to have that. You don't know how to plan for it. You don't know how to figure a cost for it. But it's that presence is always there. And what can I say? We got done with a project, the last piece that went in. We adorned it with a evergreen tree and American flag.
Oh, okay. So you've been you've been around. You sound like you got that hard work in your voice. You know, sound like you got a bunch of hard work in your past.
Yeah, I have a lot of hard work. I work with some of the toughest white folks, white males you ever want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate the opportunity of working with them. Especially one, he passed away. I wish I could have been there next to him while he was laying there on his bed to thank him for all the experiences and the opportunities I had to get to know him. Because when I was young, we used to fight like cats and dogs.
Oh, wow.
Me and him used to always be fighting. He's a little older than I am, but I think he was just toughing us up. Myself and another person, I didn't work with his gang all the time. I worked with another guy who was the Irish, or Cliff Shine. But Virgil was rough on me and Mike. And we talk about it from time to time. Virgil's a person, type of person, he had to flush the toilet two or three times to get his mess to go down. It just wouldn't go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Oh, man.
But there's some tough characters in that trade, still are today. I had another worker friend, Jim Halfman, his son, and I forget what Indian tribe that he was, that they were from. But you remember that movie called Horse, H-O-R-S-E, where
I never heard of it.
The white guy was getting into the tribe, and he had to go through an ordeal where they put hooks in the flesh part of his breast, his meat in his chest, and he hung by until they pulled out.
Ooh.
Well, Jimmy Halfman's son actually done that.
Oh, wow.
He hung by the flesh part of his chest off the floor until the hooks just tore the flesh, and he pulled out, and he fell to the ground. Yeah.
Oh, Well, I remember seeing someone do something like that on Ripley's Believe It or Not. I couldn't even watch it. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, so no, those experiences. Hmm?
So having said all that, would you say that that's how you came to your point of view that you hold to today, you know, because of all the experiences you went through with the construction and everything and stuff like that, and that may have had a influence on how you think, how you see the world today? Would you say that?
Well, construction and traveling, the people I worked with, people you had opportunity to be around, you have good people and bad people. Well, people in that industry respect you for what you can do.
Yeah.
And that's probably with anything. People respect you for who you are and what you can
do.
You know, when we had a piece of iron come up, and I was on one end, another white male was on the other. Well, the crane was swinging around, and I grabbed the tag line, grabbed my end, and bring it down to connect it to the rest of the steel. And when I was connected to mine, then I would walk out on top of it to where it was connected to the crane, and grab a hold of the cable and flip around and while he's making his other end. Well, hell, if he hated me, he could have just, oops, and caused the piece to deflect one way or the other, and I would have failed to my death.
Oh, wow.
And same thing with him
goodness.
To me. So he make his end, I make my end. When I make my end, I sit, tap, tap. I mean, cut it loose.
Mm. That oh man. So a lot of those experiences and I try to tell people this, you know, there's a saying that says experience is the best teacher, and I let people know that the reason why I think the way I do to, you know, this day is because, you know, my experience. Because and I tell people when I started school 1974, you know, that was at the tail end of the civil rights movement, basically, you know. And I tell them, you know, what I've experienced from that time up till now, you know, that's the reason why I think the way I do, you know. And when I tell people, you know, when I tell people that black folks need to get their, you know, need to pull themselves up at their bootstraps and everything, that's not me looking down on my fellow black folks or whatever. It's just what I've experienced through life. You know, I see too many of us just sitting by the wayside waiting for a handout all the time. And then we want to blame the white man for everything. And, you know, and I try to tell people we have the same opportunities any white man has in this country. Yeah. Are there white racists in this country? Yes, there are. You know, there are, you know, but I tell people that most of the people I had to fight through the most were my fellow black folks. You know, those are the people that I had one guy in 1984. I think it was 1984. You know, he was a black guy. And he didn't like me because, you know, he said I was goofy and everything and stuff like that. So I went to this restaurant. I was looking for a job, and I was 15, 16 years old, and I was looking for a job. And I went and, you know, talked to the manager. I think I filled out an application, and I didn't know this guy that didn't like me was working there too. And as I was walking out, he saw me walking out, and he told the boss man not to hire me. And he told me that at school the next day. He said, y'all, look at this. I was working at this restaurant, and Vincent come walking up in there and everything. Here's this old goofy, you know, N-word, you know. And I said, so you're going to keep me from working a job because you don't like me? He said, yeah, I don't want to work with your goofy tail. You know, and this was a black guy, you know. And I tell people, you know, we can hold each other back from succeeding just as much as a white man can, but that does not mean that we're supposed to sit around and just say, well, the white man got all this and I can't do nothing because this person's going to stop me and everything. You just had to push through the adversity, You know, and once I got that first job, once I got my first job and realized, hey, you know, you can get a job, make money, pay your bills and everything, I was already hooked, you know. My uncle would tell you, my uncle in Roanoke, Virginia, he'll tell you, he said, you know what, he'll say, yeah, one thing I can say about Vincent, boy, he going to find him a job. You know, he ain't going to be without a job for long. You know, that's how he talks.
Man, look.
And that's how I am. I just don't like to make excuses for my shortcomings. And I got a lot of shortcomings, but I just don't like making excuses for them.
Well, you know, that stuff, I was just a pilot, and I had an instrument rating. In other words, I could fly in the clouds. And when you flying in the clouds, you can't see nothing ahead of you. And you fly from Smart Field there outside of St. Louis all the way to North Carolina. And I forget what field. Field we landed at had like an amusement park nearby with Ferris wheel and all that stuff. You flying in the clouds. You can't see nothing. The only thing you can see is your gauges in front of you, your instruments.
Exactly.
And we weren't using glass gauges like they use today with GPS. We was using what they call steam gauges. But them people on the ground that's talking to you, they white.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't black. They white.
Yeah, exactly.
And their only job as a controller is to prevent air-to-air, mid-air collision. They can't keep you from hitting the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not their job. They tell you, we here to keep you from running into other planes, but we can't keep you from hitting the ground.
Yeah.
So that's just how it is. When I went hunting, my hunting partner was a white. And we exercised the greatest of control and safety around each other. Now, we had some annex where somebody throw their head up in the air and everybody shoot at it and put holes in it.
Oh, my goodness.
I used to go up around Winfield Dam, north of St. Louis, and Bobby Milton. I used to stay in his cabin until we went out early in the next morning to do squirrel hunting or deer hunting. It was at his house in Jennings where I met Chuck Berry.
Okay.
So here's Chuck Berry at this white friend of mine's house, laid back, talking about good times. So, ain't nobody got time for all this. You got good people and bad people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Certain situations, you're like, you know, your race doesn't matter. Like you were saying about flying through those clouds and the guys talking to you on the ground, they're white. Your race don't matter then. It really doesn't. It's like, you know, we're just trying to figure out how to get you on the ground safely and get you through these clouds and whatever, you know, because, you know, it just doesn't matter. And that's how I tend to take it, you know. If I come across a person and he happens to be white and he doesn't like black people, yes, I will call him a racist, you know, and it's not all about, you know, trying to kiss up to the white man. And, you know, I've been accused of that over the years. You're trying to kiss up to the white man and you're trying to be white. And I don't know how in the world you can try to be white. I don't know how to be white. You know, I know how to be myself, but I don't know how to be white. And, you know, in a way, it does bother me when I hear those type of statements because the people really don't know what they're talking about. They really don't. They really don't know you from Job's poor turkey, you know, and they think they can just they got you all figured out and everything. You're like, you know, whatever, you know, you roll your eyes and you just turn around and everything. But, you know, I just don't like the excuses. Everybody will tell you I'm harder on myself than anybody else is. And I tell people I just don't use my skin color to make excuses for my shortcomings. I look at me and I say, well, what could I have done to make this situation a little bit better? But I can't just fall back on the white man all the time. You know, to me, that's just like throwing that wild draw four card and Uno, just throw it down and everything. No, I just can't make excuses. You know, I have to look at myself first before I look at anybody else. And if I notice that I was in a racial situation and someone was a racist, I'll say, hey, okay, you know, reason why you don't want me to do this because you're a racist. But I've never had that. I've never had that problem my entire life, you know. And I try to tell that to other people. People act like one black man's experience is another's, you know, so.
So when I got in business, whites that I grew up, came up with, they quit their job, came to work for me.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. They quit their job working for white companies, came to work for me. And I got some letters where they say I was the best employer they ever worked for. And there's a few left.
We
a lot
need to
of
hear stories like that.
Yeah,
see,
a few
see
left,
we need to hear stories like that because, you know, it's a lot of people out there that they got their voices out there, and it seems to be the same people all the time. But, you know, we need to hear those stories about Pianchi being the best, you know, manager ever. You know, we need to hear those type of stories.
Yeah, and I put it together, a raising gang. My raising gang was two connectors, two men on the ground, a pusher. And then we had that crane operator in the oiler. So in just my five, I had over 130 years of experience in steel erection. That's something that you got to have.
Yeah.
And we got the job done, done it safely. And we had had fun doing it.
So that's good to hear stories like that. And excuse me. Something in my throat, and like I said, we need to continue hearing stories like this about the American experience and how people have gone through. But you know, it's enough of the you know, trying to pander to one group of people, and one you know, a lot of people, they try to pander to one group of people to make it look like that they're something that they're really not. And see, to me, that's being phony. I just don't like being phony.
And you
know, I
just
like
something
to
else. You need to. People need to have God in their life because a human being's got to have something to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings have to have something that they know is greater than they.
Yeah.
And it helps to bring out the morality in human beings because human beings naturally got a good tendency, and then you got some that has a bad tendency.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes the United States so great. But the course that it's on now, I really don't like it. The things that I see, I see a lot of stuff that just don't. And you know, like that World War II generation, when you read and study, that was the greatest generation that this country ever produced.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Greatest generation that this country produced at up until that time, and even still now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just to be able to live through that. And people say, make America. I remember when America was great, you know, great to be one.
Yeah, yeah. And I still think she has some of her greatness, you know, but it's been eroded a little bit by some people, but I still think it's the best country to live in today, you know.
I know it is. I've been all through Africa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's some areas that just ain't going to get unless they like it where it is.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. You know, in a way, because when things come to the end in your modernity, and you see some of the great modernity in those Arab countries like Dubai and
In
Asian countries, Singapore. You go to Dubai and look at the cities that they built. But they've done a marvelous job. But you still, when all that come to an end, you're going to be back out there in the forest. You're going to be hunting and fishing and living on meager means because that's where it all begins with.
Yeah,
it began there. You went away from it, but eventually you come back to it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, oh boy, we're in archives. Oh my goodness.
All right. Well, look, I'll let you get to your rest of your day. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. And I appreciate you, too. And, you know, I don't know. I might hear you on Warren's show tomorrow. I don't know. But
no, I ain't going to
you know,
on Warren's show.
Oh, okay. Okay. But next
tell
week.
Your wife, just to let, tell your wife happy. Of course, we got a little bit of ways to go before the 24th. But a pre-greeting, tell her happy Christmas and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. And,
all right. I'll see you.
All right. Well, folks, that's the show. God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only next week. You all take care of yourselves. Don't overspend during this Christmas holiday. You know, don't overeat. But of course, you know, next week it's going to be Christmas Eve when I do the program. So it'll be before Christmas then. I can still wish you a happy Christmas then. But anyway, you all take care of yourselves. Have a good week. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a great week.